Now, I would like to turn you for a little while to the book of Jonah and to chapter 1 and to verse 3. Jonah chapter 1 and verse 3, very famous story, the book of Jonah. Verse 3 of chapter 1 says this, "But Jonah ran away from the Lord and headed for Tarshish. He went down to Joppa where he found a ship bound for that port. After paying the fare, he went aboard and sailed for Tarshish to flee from the Lord." Now, we have, over the last year and a half or so, lived through the most amazing time. These days of COVID and COVID crisis have been like a great storm that has raged through our lives and is still raging through and across the world. And I felt that it would be good for us together to try and process what's been happening to us and to think through what's been going on and to really ask the question, well, what has God been saying to us through these momentous events? And the big idea that I want to communicate is that God uses the storms of life, whether it's COVID or whether it's more personal storms, but that God uses the storms of life to try to wake us up to reality. So often we live at a certain level, don't we? We're busy, we're flat out, just functioning, just holding everything together. And so often then we've got our blinkers on. So often we're just focused on what's in front of us. And we don't have the time or we don't have the capacity to stop and to look at the big picture and to ask ourselves where it is our life is heading or what our life is actually about. And I think the Bible teaches that in an effort to awaken us, in an effort to stir us, God sometimes brings trouble into our lives. Now, that's certainly what's happening in the book of Jonah. Jonah is a prophet, one of these great Old Testament prophets. And what God has done is he has spoken to him and he's given him a job to do. He's sent him to Nineveh. And he said, "I want you to go to Nineveh and I want you to preach against Nineveh. It's a very wicked city and I'm going to judge them. I want you to go and I want you to preach." Now, Nineveh was the great enemy as far as Jonah was concerned. And it's pretty clear that he doesn't fancy the task. And so what you find is that Jonah's refusing to listen. And he, in fact, goes in the opposite direction. We read in verse 3, he ran away from the Lord. He headed for Tarshish. He goes down to the port of Joppa. He finds a ship and he pays the fare and he gets on it. So God sends him to Nineveh. He decides he's going to Tarshish. He's fleeing, we're told, from the Lord. But what happens then, as we read earlier in the rest of the chapter, what happens then is that God doesn't let him go. That's a wonderful thing, don't you think? That God doesn't just let him go. You know, God's not going to just let us go. He's going to strive. He's going to wrestle with us. He's going to pursue us. And that's what he does to Jonah here. He doesn't just let him go, but he goes after him in a very unmissable way. You know, Jonah's put his fingers in his ears as far as God's speaking to him. So what God does now is he turns up the volume and he makes it impossible for Jonah to miss that God is coming after him. And so he sends this great wind and he whips up such a violent storm that this ship is bound to sink. And we find this interaction then, this discussion as Jonah and the sailors try to work out what's going on. And Jonah confesses, and the long and short of it is that they end up throwing him overboard. And then God, he prepares a big fish to swallow up Jonah, to rescue him. And we're told that after he's been in the fish for 3 days and three nights, the fish spits him out onto the shore. And Jonah's given a second chance to do what God asked him to do, a second chance to go to Nineveh, which he does. Now, what's going on then in this chapter? What am I trying to bring out? What's the message? Well, the message is this, that just as God sent a storm to Jonah to wake him up, so God sends storms to our lives to wake us up, and that we have lived through one of the biggest and greatest of these storms in living memory. And really, the question I'm asking then is, what impact has that had on us? Are we just the same as we were? Are we just now hoping to go back to the way that everything was? I think that would be a huge mistake. And what we've got here in the book of Jonah is Jonah going on this great journey. He starts off not listening to God. He starts off running away from God. And God sends this storm, and you see what Jonah has to go through. He goes on a journey until he gets his second chance. And I think that Jonah then, he can be a guide to us, because if God dealt with Jonah that way, he'll deal with us that way. And so in Jonah, we have not just an old story, but we have a model, a pattern. We have instruction. We have him as a guide to show us what we should be doing and what we shouldn't be doing as we try to process this whole COVID experience. Now, I want to zoom in today on verse 3. And if you like, I want to go back to the children's talk. Because here, Jonah, before COVID, if you like, before the storm, God's speaking to him, but he's not listening. We thought about that the last time we thought of Jonah 1. But now I want to point out that in verse 3, Jonah is in his own little world. Here he is, he's heard the word of God, but he's not interested in obeying it, and he thinks he can run away. He thinks he's got the option to ignore God. And what I want to bring out today is that Jonah here is living in his own little virtual reality. It's like he's got the headset on. He doesn't recognize the world that he's in. He's got his own little make-believe world. And when God sent this storm was bringing him back to reality. It was teaching him something. So this morning, I want to ask the question, well, what world are you in? Are you in the real world, or have you got your headset on? It's very possible for us to live in our own little virtual reality, oblivious to the great things that are happening around us, even though they're influencing us, even though they're shaping us, even though we will one day have to face up to them. So that's where I want to go for a few minutes. That remain. Now, first of all, I'd better just say another little bit about virtual reality, using it as a picture. So just to go back to the children's talk, that headset connected to your computer that puts you into another world. So even though you're sat in your sofa, on your sofa, you think you're in a roller coaster or flying an aeroplane or invading a planet or whatever it is the computer is simulating. Well, that's a totally immersive thing. So if you think you are flying a starfighter into an alien planet and fighting your way through wave after wave of enemy starship, your heart is going to be beating, your adrenaline is going to be up. That's what you're going to be seeing. That's what you're going to be hearing. You know, it feels very, very real. It's what you see. It's what you hear. But of course, it's not real. You're still sat in your bedroom. It's just a simulation. It's not the real world. It's not where you actually are. Now, that's what we're talking about. Now, the Bible says something shocking. Did you know this? The Bible says that every single human being is born living in their own little world. That we're all born living in this sort of virtual reality. We're all born with a headset on. We're all born thinking the world is one thing, when actually it's another. We're all born out of touch with the real world. And if we were to go back to the beginning of the Bible, you could see this. You know, the Bible starts, Genesis chapter 1, Genesis chapter 2. It starts with God. It starts with God creating everything. It starts with God saying, let there be light. It starts with God saying, let us make man in our image, male and female, he creates them. It's about God planting a garden and putting the human race, Adam and Eve, in this beautiful garden. It starts with a world that is good. And that's the real world. As far as the Bible is concerned, that's reality. A creation brought out of nothing by God, where he is at the center, where human beings are incredibly privileged, where everything is good. But you don't get far into the story. In fact, you only get as far as Genesis chapter 3, which in most Bibles is 3 pages in, which isn't very many. 1,200 pages here. Third page in, it all goes wrong. And what happens is this. This serpent comes. And we're not told anything about him. He just appears. And this serpent comes, and he comes up to the woman. And he starts to give the woman a different story. He says, you think that God is looking after you. You think that you're free. You think that everything is wonderful. Well, no, actually not. You've been taken for a ride. Let me tell you what's really going on. This God that you think is looking after you, he's actually repressing you. You could be great, you know. You could be magnificent, you know. You could be like God. You could be free. But look, he's keeping you down. He's giving you all these rules to keep. He's telling you not to eat from that particular tree. How unreasonable he is. And he starts to give a different version of reality. Now, what's he doing in that passage? Well, if you like, what he's doing is he's offering us a headset. He's offering us a virtual reality. He's saying, you think the world is like this, but put this on. This will help you see more clearly. This will make everything much, much nicer. And so he comes and he offers us the headset. And what happens in Genesis 3 is this. We put it on. The human race puts on the headset that the serpent offers and loses touch with reality, loses touch with the real world, and is plunged into this strange world where God is not for us, but God is holding us back. And the word of God cannot be trusted. And we can replace God with ourselves. And if only we'd strike out on our own, we would be free. That's the headset. That's the virtual reality. And the great tragedy of the human story is that we embraced it and we wear it. And that's still the way we function. Jonah here, he's wearing it. Look at him in verse 3. God has spoken to him. God has given him a command, but he's not listening. But he's not just not listening. He thinks that he can run away from God. He thinks that he could go somewhere on earth that is outside of God's jurisdiction, that somehow God couldn't get him, somehow God couldn't reach him. You know, that's not the real world. The real world in Genesis 1 and 2 belongs to God, every inch of it. There's no place you can go where God is not. You know, your home, your place of work, your most secret place, where you feel that nobody else could ever be and nobody else could ever see. God is there. It belongs to him. He owns it every single inch. It's under his jurisdiction. And the great punchline of the Bible is that we're still living under this delusion, every single one of us. We still believe the serpent's lie. We've still got the headset on. We still think God's out to get us. We still think that we can be like God's. We still think that if we throw off all his restrictions, we'll be free. We all live in this virtual reality. Now, that leads me to another thing to say, the second thing. And the second thing is, we're here in this virtual reality. Second thing is, that is a really, really bad place to be. Now, don't know what your reaction to that statement is. A lot of people would say, well, it doesn't seem so bad to me. Not at first sight. I mean, look at Jonah here. Jonah's been given a rather nasty job by God. He has got to go to a scary place and do a scary thing. And if he's got his virtual headset on, he doesn't have to go. He can please himself. So, on the surface, it doesn't seem such a bad idea, does it? It doesn't seem such a difficult way to live. I don't have to listen to God. I don't have to think about God. I can just go my own way. I can believe what the serpent says. Everything's fine. It seems to fit. It seems to work. Well, it's what Jonah had done. It's what we all do. We just please ourselves. That's not such a bad thing, is it? Let's live life any way we want it to be and become and do anything we want to do. It doesn't seem such a bad thing. In fact, let's be honest, it feels marvelous. We feel like gods. Nobody tells me what to do. Nobody can restrict me. Nobody can limit me. I can do whatever I like. In fact, our culture's sort of turned this into a philosophy. You know, there was a day when in the West people were controlled by duty. You know, what's the right thing to do? That's what I'll do. I don't know, 100 years ago. And then we were controlled by material things. What will get me more stuff? But nowadays, we've embraced this idea that we can be anything we want, and life can be anything we want. And so we define ourselves. We look within. We find our deepest desires. We live them out. And that's how we'll flourish, and that's how we'll be happy. We are like gods. So, on the surface, doesn't seem so bad. I mean, millions of people can't be wrong, can they? Shouldn't we just live like this? Well, the message of Jonah, the message of the Bible, the message of coronavirus, I'm arguing, is that though it might feel okay at first sight, actually living life with that headset on is catastrophic. Not just that you're missing out on some good things, it is catastrophic. Think about it. Here's Jonah in verse 3. He's just not seeing, is he, what's real? He's not seeing what's in front of him. Here he is running away from God. But the God he's trying to run away from is the God of heaven. He says it later on. He's the God of heaven who made the seas, who made the earth. He's the God who can command a storm, command a great wind. He's the God who can prepare a great fish. He's the God who can destroy a massive city like Nineveh. He's a God who could turn a massive city like Nineveh to himself. He's the God who can take Jonah into the belly of a fish for 3 days and three nights and yet sustain him and keep him alive and bring him back out again. This is not somebody you can ignore. And so Jonah here, when he's got his headset on, when he's in his virtual reality, he's just not facing up to things that are right in front of him. He just doesn't see it. God is right in front of him. God is right in front of us too. We pretend we can't see him. We pretend that we decide what's what. We pretend that we are like gods. But that's not the reality. The reality is you breathe because God gives you breath. And you will eat today because God provides you with food. And you will be sheltered from that rainstorm that just crashed down because God has provided you with shelter. And you are not isolated and alone because God has put people in your life. And you have health and strength because God has given you health and strength. You see, you live and you move and you have your being in him. Bang, he's right there. He's your environment. He's your world. And yet we don't see him. We think he's optional. We think we can ignore him. But you see, Jonah, he's making a big mistake. And so, because he's not seeing what's in front of him, he's just not prepared for the realities of life. And so off he goes, thinking that he can ignore God and go his own way. And God steps in and he sends the storm. And Jonah's in an awful lot of trouble. Why? Well, because he's just not ready for reality. He's not seeing what's in front of him. He's going off in his own direction and on his own way. He's just not ready. And you and I, we do the same. Have you wondered why you keep bumping into things and falling over things. He wondered why we get hurt and other people get hurt. It's because we're blundering around with a headset on. We're not seeing what's in front of us. We're not seeing the obstacles. We don't get the world. We don't understand how it works. We think it's our world. We think we're running it. We think we're in control. And yet that's not true. It's part of the virtual reality. Another problem with it that makes it so catastrophic is this. According to the Bible, we become vulnerable to that serpent. Now, that serpent is still at work. That serpent is still active. You're there in Genesis 3. He brought the lies that deluded Adam and Eve and brought the world into sin. He didn't retire at that point. That was only the beginning. You know, Genesis 3 is happening day after day in our lives. The serpent, he slithers up and he whispers in our ears and he tells us, you don't need to think about God. He's been doing it now, I guarantee it. That will have been going on in your own mind and your own heart. 1,000 different things will have been coming into your head while you've been listening to this. And you'll have thought about this, and I wonder, did I turn the oven on? And what am I going to do this afternoon? Or what's going to happen this week? Or, oh, I wonder about that. The serpent still? Very busy, very active. He hasn't retired. And what happens is that when we're not in the real world, relating to God, under the protection of God, we become vulnerable. Vulnerable to the serpent. We've got nobody stood by us, protecting us and keeping us. We're on our own, and we can't see what's what. We've got the headset on. We're not ready for the temptations. We don't really believe in the devil. We don't really believe in temptation. We don't believe in sin. So obviously we're not ready for when we're tempted. We're not ready when these huge, powerful forces come up against us to destroy us. We're vulnerable. And we'll find our lives then beginning to fall apart. We'll find that we're not coping. We'll find that we're being compressed and distressed and contorted in our emotions, in our feelings. We're not ready. We're not prepared. We're not safe. We've got no armor on. And we have this great battle raging around us between Satan and God. And we're caught in the middle of it. And we think we're on holiday. We think we're having a marvelous time. We think we're living in a beautiful garden still, but we're not in the garden. The reality now is the battlefields. Another reason why it's so catastrophic to wear it, of course, is that in the end, it puts us on a collision course with God himself. Have you ever thought about that? You're not to believe in God or to treat him as just an optional extra and to imagine that you're in control of your, that puts you on a collision course with God himself. And that's got to end badly. And nobody's going to win that. And nobody's going to overcome God himself. It's just not a battle you can win. So what I'm saying here today from that third verse in Jonah is that Jonah's living in this virtual reality, that we all live in this virtual reality where God doesn't matter too much, where I'm the important thing, where I live how I like, and I can do what I want. But that's not the real world. That's a virtual reality world. And it's catastrophic. It might feel okay. It might feel good. But it's setting us up for a horrendous collision. It's going to destroy us. That leads me to the third, the final thing I want to say, is that the storm that God brings into Jonah's life, the storms that God brings into our life, the COVID storm that he brought into our corporate life, is designed to bring us to our senses. There's the big idea. That's what happened to Jonah. He's got his virtual reality on. He thinks he can run away from God. The storm comes, and what is it? It is a massive reality check. And he discovers that God is the God of all the earth, that he is the Lord, the great I am, that you can't run from him. He commands the winds and the waves. And so what happens to Jonah is that he is confronted with reality through the storm, and he has to change. He has to change. Now, let's try and get a bit closer to home and personal here. I wonder if somebody asked you, what has COVID taught you? How have you changed from 2 years ago? In what ways are you different? What would your answer be? Well, put it another way, what was God trying to teach us through this storm? What lessons are we supposed to have learned? Well, surely we're supposed to have learned that actually we're not in control. We might think we are, but we're not in control. We might be full of plans and full of confidence. And the great storm of COVID came, and it taught us that our plans could be taken away overnight. Overnight. Here's our sophisticated society with its limitless freedoms and opportunities. We've all got our rights and our expectations. We've got enormous wealth and power. And overnight, we were shut down. The storm was to teach us that you are not in control. COVID is there to teach us that you and I, we are frail. We are dependent. We are helpless. It's there to humble us. Another lesson that it was designed to teach us is that we are not immortal. Now, if someone sits you down and says, are you immortal? You're going to say, well, no, of course I'm not immortal. And yet at the strange time, we're highly resistant to thinking about our own death and what will happen afterwards. And it is a big feature of our own culture. We sort of refuse to think about it. And of course, that's foolishness, because it's the one certainty. And it's absolutely true that you're not ready to live until you're ready to die. You're going to be controlled by fear all your life unless you've dealt with the ultimate issue of your own mortality and whether you'll be in heaven or hell at the end. Because none of us knows when that day will be. It could be today. And surely COVID forced us to face that. Some people, of course, many people were completely unaffected health-wise. They never got it, or they got very mild symptoms. But there are others, tens and tens of thousands of others, who got it and were struck down even overnight. You know, any type of plague, any type of great illness, any type of great catastrophe is bringing right into our faces our own mortality. And there's no negotiating. This day comes, there's no notice. There are no negotiations, it stops. COVID taught us that. Did you learn that during COVID? Or have you got your buoyancy back? Do you think you're unstoppable again? Do you think you're immortal again? Or at least you functioning as if you were immortal? Well, you haven't heard it. You're still in a virtual reality. You haven't heard what God is saying. And of course, the final thing I'll mention that COVID brought to us was that we are not ready. We're not ready for the eternity before us. You know, our culture is so unready. We, as part of that culture, are so unready. We are focused on the here and now. And that's all our culture wants to talk about. That's all that it can help us with. It tells us that we can't know anything about the future, about eternity. So you don't have to think about it. You don't have to worry about it. Our culture offers no help. It encourages not to think about it. It sort of dismisses these big ultimate issues of life. And it's madness. Because we must die, and after death comes judgment, and then there is heaven or there is hell. And there is a Savior. There is a Savior who can rescue us from hell, and he's available to us today. He's available to us now. You've got to make your peace with him. You've got to be reconciled to God. You've got to have your sins forgiven. You need Jesus. So all of this, the storm of COVID was bringing to the forefront. Did you take any of it on board? take any of it to heart. Well, what I'm saying then, to bring all this to a conclusion, what I'm saying is, as we have lived through COVID, as we've lived through this storm, it's time to take the headset off. It's time to face the real world. Now, initially, when you take the headset off, that's a shock, because you find out that you're living in a ruined world, and you're going to experience some conviction of personal sinfulness, and you're going to want to put the headset back on. But you know, if you resist that, as the smoke clears, you will start to see something wonderful. You will start to see that God is the God who rebuilds. That God is the God who redeems. You look at it in Jonah's life. You know, Jonah's life at the end of chapter 1 is in jeopardy. It's in ruins. He's inside a fish. And chapter 2 starts to show us what he's thinking in those 3 days and those 3 nights as he's inside that fish. It's showing us the ruins and the rubble of his life as he realizes the way he's been living, and he thinks he's going to die, and he begins to repent, and he begins to call out to God. But then as you move to the end of chapter 2, you find something wonderful. What you find is that God is not seeking Jonah's destruction. You know, God is not seeking your destruction. He's not seeking anybody's destruction. He's seeking his salvation. And so what happens is he's rescued by the fish. He's delivered from the fish. And off he goes. Never forget that God is the God of the second chance. Now, maybe you need to hear that today. Maybe there's somebody here today who desperately needs to know that God is the God of the second chance. Maybe there was a time when you were close to God, when you really served God, and you were here worshiping, serving God, and something happened. Something happened. I don't know what it was. Maybe you don't know what it was either, but somehow there was a drift, or there was a sudden backsliding, whatever it was. And maybe you listen to this and you say, well, it's all very well for the person who's new. It's all very well for the person who's never thought about this before. But I've been there and I blew it. God is the God of the second chance and the third and the fourth. And he's just as available to you now as he was when he first came. And he's just as ready to save now as when you first came. He's just as ready to pick you up again as when you first came. And his arms are just as open. His heart is just as warm to you as when you first came. You see, God is the God who restores. God is the God who rebuilds. That's what you're seeing in Jonah's life. And not just in Jonah's life. You see it in Nineveh. Here's this city that is the capital of the Assyrian Empire, which had been a horrific empire. And this empire had wreaked havoc across the ancient Near East. It had slaughtered, it had terrified. And so now God says, I'm going to judge you. And he sends Jonah with that message. Eventually, Jonah goes with that message. In 30 days, Nineveh will be overthrown. You say, well, that's the problem with God. Look at him judging everybody all the time. Well, you haven't understood. This message of judgment is a warning. This message of judgment is a wake-up call. It's the equivalent of the storm in Jonah's life. It's there to awaken us, to take off the virtual reality, to listen to what God is saying, and to actually turn. And that's what happens in Nineveh. So chapter 3, you come to verse 7. The king proclaims that the whole city should repent. And the punchline of the book of Jonah is that when God sees that repentance, he forgives. He forgives. See, God is the God who rebuilds. See it in Jonah. See it in Nineveh. But it's the story of the human race. It's the story of the whole Bible. There's creation and there's fall, Genesis 1 and 2, Genesis 3. But the rest of the Bible, we've only got to page 4 by the time we talked about creation and fall. The next 1,200 pages are all about redemption. They're all about God calling people back to himself. They're all about God forgiving. They're all about God restoring. They're all about God saving. And at the center of that is this monumental figure of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he stands at the center of the book of the Bible, at the center of the history of the world, at the center of the Christian faith. And he stands as God incarnate. You see, God doesn't just send Jonah. God comes himself. And he comes to take our sins off our shoulders and to put them on his own shoulders and then to atone for all that we have done. And that is the central act of history. That's the central act of the Bible. And that is the way forward for us. We've got to come to Christ, come to the cross, come in repentance like Nineveh, come calling for salvation like Jonah, and he will hear. He will. First time, second time, thousandth time, he will hear. Well, I got to stop, but how about it? What a story. And what a privilege to have lived through these days and have God shake us a little and stir us a little and call us to think a little and to seek him a little. Well, the great question is, what are you going to do? You're going to go back to the old ways, or are you going to take off the headset, live in the real world? Well, let's pray together, shall we? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you. Thank you for your word. Thank you for the way you deal with us in our lives. Help us to get what you're doing in the storms of life so that we will hear your voice in the midst of them and understand and turn and live. Help us, we pray. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.